following his prison time for his role in a dogfighting ring. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and on today's program, we're going to be talking about a very important topic, but maybe a topic that is going to need some defining here by us during our conversation. That topic that I'm talking about is the topic of social justice. Now, when we think about social justice, we think about a few terms that are associated along with it, like hunger, poverty, sickness, addiction, these types of things. And while these are certainly serious and in many cases complex problems, we also understand that passion alone is not going to be able to solve these things. We need to have some effective strategies for overcoming these human needs and these human or social ills that we see in our society today. Well, there's a new project that is being put out by the Heritage Foundation in cooperation, I think, along with World Magazine and some others as well. And it's about to launch. It was supposed to launch yesterday. I think it may actually be launching today, at least the website for it. But it is a DVD, a six-lesson DVD series that explores the roles and the responsibilities of family, business, government, church, and individuals in promoting social justice by profiling real-world examples of effective action. And so it has a number of each one of these six DVDs that are associated with this. I've looked at, I think, all of them. They each have a study guide that goes along with it. And then through looking at these DVDs and going through the study course, the idea is to explain and better articulate what social justice is and to train people how to deal with it and how to implement it in their societies and in their churches and their homes. That's the idea behind this. This is part of our Worldview Wednesday series sponsored by World Magazine. And so since World Magazine was one of the partners in this project with the Heritage Foundation, we thought we would go ahead and talk about this on our program today. With me on the program in order to talk about this is a special guest and actually the lead writer for the Seek Social Justice curriculum. His name is Ryan Messmore, and Ryan is the William E. Simon, I think it's, is that Simon? I guess Simon Fellow.
That's right.
In Religion and a Free Society at the Heritage Foundation. And Ryan, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be with you.
Well, great, Ryan. I guess maybe we should start before we get into what the DVD has in it, you know, all the different parts of the six lessons that are there. Maybe we should at least develop some sort of a good working definition of the word social or the term social justice.
Right. And that's so important because as so many people enter this public conversation today about social justice, if you start out with the wrong bearings, you will inevitably end up in a dangerous place. I heard before that if you're heading off from San Francisco, heading to Honolulu, and you're off by just one degree from when you start, not only will you miss Honolulu, but you will miss all of the Hawaiian Islands, and you'll probably end up in China. So what we're trying to do is to give some basic bearings, some navigation points for understanding this concept. And basically the way that we're trying to articulate social justice is in terms of right relationships. I think if you were to look in Scripture at the words that are translated into justice. One of the best translations would simply be right relationships. And that includes right relationships first and foremost with God, but also with other people, with family members, with neighbors, also with material creation, relating rightly to things, to money, to food, to housing, to all the other things that God created, and also a right relationship with ourselves, our own sense of who we are, who we were created to be, our own sense of self-worth and meaning in life. And so if you look at the biblical understanding of justice, you're talking about shalom. You're talking about that harmony of all of these relationships that God created us to enjoy being exercised as he intended, so being in right relationship with everything that God wants us to be in relationship with.
So a right view of God, a right view of God's creation, a right view of ourselves, a right view of others, that would be a fair explanation of what we're talking about when we mention the term social justice?
That's right. That's right. It's got to be a very robust and comprehensive notion. And that's one of the problems today is that so often when people talk about social justice, they tend to narrow what they're talking about down to a very particular concept, usually dealing with economic inequality or the lack of material resources. But we're trying to promote a much more robust, a much broader view, which takes into account the transcendent aspects of human life and a full picture of human flourishing right at the center of social justice.
Well, it's very important, I think, as you mentioned already, that we define this because I did a little Wikipedia search about social justice, and I think the definition that's given out here at the wiki file, I think a lot of Christians would certainly take issue with. It says this, that social justice is also a concept that some use to describe the movement towards a socially just world. In this context, social justice is based on the concepts of human rights and equality and involves a greater degree of economic egalitarianism through progressive taxation, income redistribution, and even property redistribution, policies aimed towards achieving that which developmental economists refer to as more equality of opportunity and equality of outcome. So these are terms, you know, and it mentions in here that these were one of the four pillars of the Green Party, and especially upheld by the worldwide Green Parties in general, and held the views that are held by on the left of the political spectrum. And so obviously that is not what we are talking about when we speak about social justice, this immediate view towards the government, towards the government taking care of everybody and growing the government. That is not what we're interested in our discussion. We can safely say that.
That's right.
Okay, good.
That's right.
And I think that as we, you know, as we develop then, you know, the concept of what social justice is, and I should remind people that this word became very popular during the last election, that where some of the evangelicals were saying, well, wait a second, you know, evangelicals have become a one-issue party, you know, that we're all we really care about is abortion. And because of, you know, if a person is for abortion, but they have all of these other quote-unquote social justice things right, then maybe we should consider them as a valid candidate. And unfortunately, I think that mushy view of social justice really led people down a false path of where they thought they were going in this discussion. So I think it's very important. I think what you guys are doing is very important, but I think it's very important that we set the definition of this term right up front in the beginning of the broadcast.
That's right. And what's so unfortunate about the story that you just told about the last election and the way that the younger people today tend to be taught social justice from kind of a progressive left-leaning viewpoint is that the people who end up getting hurt by this approach that we are not advocating, the people who end up being hurt by this approach are the very people that were intended to be helped.
Mm-hmm.
It's the poor. It's those in need, those who need help, those who Scripture calls us to care for. Those are the very people that are paying the price of bad policies promoted in the name of social justice. So it's crucial that we understand what this means and how best to care for those in need.
That's an excellent point because, you know, we all want to help people. There's, I don't think that is in question. And sometimes I don't even really question it even with some folks on the left. You know, I'm not impugning their desire to help. But as you just mentioned, and I did a program with some fellows that wrote a book called When Helping Hurts, we could actually be exasperating the problem of the people that we are seeking to help. And obviously that's the last thing that we want to do. We want to, you know, do this in the right way so that it actually makes a difference in people's life and doesn't make things worse for them.
Very well put. We
got to take a very quick commercial break, but when we come back from the commercial break, we'll go ahead and start going through and having you articulate to us what is involved in this program and what people will find when they go out to that website. I want to tell our listeners you're listening to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast, and you are certainly welcome to participate in our conversation today. That number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. We're speaking with Ryan Messmore, who is the lead writer for Seek Social Justice Curriculum. We'll be talking about that in just a minute. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Hi, this is John MacArthur, and bringing you biblical truth taught verse by verse is what Grace to You is all about. We're on Christian Talk 660, providing biblical nourishment so you can grow in your understanding and application of God's powerful Word. Join me, won't you, weekdays at 11:30 a.m. on Christian Talk 660 for Grace to You, where we're unleashing God's truth one verse at a time.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza. They'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Speedy B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
This Christmas, help Crossway reach 1 million homes with God's Word. Crossway has designed outreach bags containing an ESV New Testament, a gospel tract, and a personalizable invitation to a Christmas service. This is a perfect outreach program for your church as you partner with believers across the country to share the good news of Christmas. Your church can download free video clips, invitations, and more at goodnewsofchristmas.org. For more information, visit your local Christian retail store or go to crossway.org.
You know you want to quit smoking. Well, you can do it in just a few steps. All you need is a little motivation.
Get ready.
First, set a date to quit.
Get medicine.
Talk to your doctor about medicines that can help you.
Get help.
Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW, a free service that can help you get started. Or go to ahrq.gov/consumer for more information about quitting.
You can quit smoking.
A few easy steps that'll help save your life. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're going to play just a quick little segment here. This is one of the bonus features that's out on the Seek Social Justice website. Now, I'm not sure that the website is actually active right now. They actually gave me a beta site to go to, and so I'll be playing a couple of these off of the beta site. But this one in particular is by Marvin Olasky. They're very short. They're only a couple minutes each. Let's listen to what Marvin has to say, and then we'll go back to our conversation with Ryan and get him to explain a little bit about what we'd find when you go to that Seek Social Justice website. Here we go. Okay, we think, let's see, is it going to make it? Well, let me just go back to Ryan real quick then. We'll see if we can fix it here on our technical glitch. Ryan, just before the break, you and I were talking about what people would find there. We actually have a caller who's called in already and may have a question just dealing with our idea of our definition or something along that line. So let's go to our caller very quickly, and then we'll come back and start through the website. John, you're up first there on Knowing the Truth. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I just want to say I appreciated your comments on social justice, and I really love the Heritage Foundation. Go Heritage Foundation. So I was encouraged. When I first came on, I'm thinking, oh, no, more evangelical mush. But then you came on, and then you mentioned Heritage Foundation. I said, this has got to be good. So far, I like what I'm hearing.
Excellent.
And, yeah, I've been reading on the web, and social justice, it just means anything. And a question I had is, what is your take on the definition of social justice in the Manhattan Declaration? How am I to take that? How am I to regard that? Because when I saw that, my antenna went up and started jiggling. I'm thinking, uh-oh, somebody's got to define this. If they don't, it can mean anything. And
that's right.
That's it. So what's your take on social justice in the Manhattan Declaration?
Yeah, well, thanks for that comment, John. You're right. When at the very beginning of this project, well over a year ago, we began to sit down with young people of faith and just began to listen to them and try to get a hold of what they mean when they use this phrase, social justice. And you're right, it's all over the map. People mean everything from helping an old lady across the street to redistribution of wealth by the government and a lot of stuff in between. So it's very important that we do get our hands around this. I think if you in the Manhattan Declaration, I think the context there helps us to understand the way that the lead authors of that statement are using the term social justice. And there, I do think they are using it in a way that means caring for those in need. Providing what might be lacking so that people can live fully flourishing lives independent of government dependence really tapping into all aspects of human nature. So the Manhattan Declaration, I think, understands that man is more than just a bank account, and thus we need to do more than throw money at the problem. We need to look at the foundational institutions of society, like the family, and the freedom of the family, the authority of the family, the church, the role that the church can play in helping to meet people's needs. So I think it does a good job of pointing deeper and looking at the roots of the problems, looking at the roots of human flourishing, and trying to call people to safeguard the institutions that lie there at the root.
Hmm.
How do you explain the absence of the issue of abortion in social justice? In these, that concerns me. It's just, as Kevin mentioned, you rarely, at least I have, as I've looked on the web and read, they just seem to have dismissed or ignored the issue of abortion. And in my mind, that is the penultimate issue for social justice in America today. 50 million abortions since 1973. Mm-hmm. How do they get around that? How do they just forget about it?
You're right. It's is there any more issue worthy of the term justice than dealing with abortion? Interestingly, and I think Kevin alluded to it a little bit earlier, what we found when we were talking to a younger audience in particular is that for them, social justice is a way of letting their peers know that their biblical worldview is much broader than just focusing on one or two issues. Usually that's abortion and gay marriage. Mm-hmm. For better or for worse, the younger generation views their parents' generation, especially if they were involved with the Republican Party or the religious right or what have you, with only caring about those two issues. And so they want to not be associated with what they consider to be kind of a narrow-minded range of issues, and they want their peers to know that they also care about the environment, they also care about AIDS, they also care about the homeless. It's interesting that this audience is no less pro-life. In fact, if the research is to be believed, they may actually be more pro-life than their parents' generation, which is a good sign. But they are using the term social justice as a way to say, but we're not limited to that issue. We also care about a lot more. And so that gives us at the Heritage Foundation an entry point to say, you know what, we also care not only about abortion, not only about families and marriage, but we also care about the poor. We also care about kids that are trapped in poor schools. The question is, how can we best act on that desire to help the poor in ways that don't lead to unintended consequences?
That's a good question, John, and I wholeheartedly agree that it needs to be certainly part of the equation. It can't be overlooked, and I agree with Ryan's assessment there. I think it's a very good assessment of where we find our young people today and evangelicalism as a whole today. And that's why I think that this project is so important, because we need somebody to articulate what this is in a full-orbed Christian worldview, encompassing this idea of social justice, defining it, and then telling people what are the parameters of it, and then telling them as well how we can implement this. But that was an excellent point. I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, John.
Thank you, John.
By the way, this program that we're talking about here is going to be put out absolutely free. So the price range, it's right around my price range.
That's right.
But the DVDs will be made available online, or you can sign up to have them sent to you, I understand. And also, there's a workbook that goes along with it that Ryan has been the lead writer on. There are many people involved in this, I should mention, too. A couple of resources from what John just mentioned. John mentioned the Manhattan Declaration. I want to let people know that I did a program the other day with Ligon Duncan, and he came on and talked about what they meant in the Manhattan Declaration. That may be helpful to some people. Also, I wanted to mention that I had Marvin Olasky on, who is part of this project, the Seek Social Justice Project, but I had him on speaking about his book, The Tragedy of American Compassion, and I think that book would be an excellent companion to this study that we're talking about here in this project, Seek Social Justice.
That's right.
So I just want to clarify those two things.
Yeah, and one of the things that people will find when they go to the website, and again, the URL is www.seeksocialjustice.com. In addition to all six of the videos, which they can download for free on the website, and, as you mentioned, the accompanying study guide, which offers discussion questions that tie in with each of the videos, visitors to the website will also be able to find resources like recommended readings, and we suggest a couple of Marvin Olasky's books, including The Tragedy of American Compassion. They'll also find some featured ministries who are doing what we think is a good job of caring for the poor in personal ways, which form accountability and face-to-face relationships. They'll be able to find bonus footage of interviews by the experts that we have featured in the different lessons. There's facts and research that we found on each of the different topics, family, work, and the role of government, that sort of thing. So there's a whole host of resources to be found, as you said, absolutely free at seeksocialjustice.com.
Let me give our listeners here a little sense of some of the confusion that is taking place about this issue within the church. There's a news item that came out on Saturday, December 19th. The title of it says this: Willow Creek Church encourages a, quote, just, unquote, Christmas. And so here's Willow Creek using this term justice that we were just speaking about. And to their credit, they have encouraged their people to provide winter coats for people in the Chicago area. And so I don't know exactly how many, but I'm going to guess, you know, 1,000 or more coats were donated by the people in the church, even during these hard economic times. And they donated these coats, and so they went out and they were going to distribute these coats to the needy in their area. That is very much commendable, and I don't fault them at all for that. But there was a line in this story that I think is telling. It went to that it exposes the false idea that we have about, i.e., social justice, again, that we've been talking about. The line is this. This is Bill Hybel speaking, and he says, don't ask them how they got there. He's encouraging his congregation when they go out and they meet with strangers. In fact, let me back up here. He says, in the Old Testament, Hybel explains, God would never forget the fatherless or the widows. But God didn't stop there. He said, quote, I want you to care for the strangers within your gates, unquote. And then this is the quote that I want to get to. He said, don't ask them how they got here. Just take care of them like you do the fatherless and the widows, Hybels told, unquote. Hybels told Willow Creekers, quote, you love them all you and you do your best to take care of them, unquote. Well, the reason why that statement is so telling is that it is this justice that is being done or this assistance that is being given without any strings attached, without any relationship, without any follow-up, if you will, without trying to figure out what the problem is that people are in this position. Ryan, that's a big problem, isn't it?
That is. And I also would say kudos to Willow Creek for trying to, again, that we are not questioning the desire to help at all. We want to encourage people to seek the call to justice. But you're right. It's interesting that if you go back and read this book that we were talking about by Marvin Olasky, The Tragedy of American Compassion, mm-hmm. what he finds there in his research is that it is precisely asking those sorts of questions, which is what set churches and ministries apart 100 years ago, which enabled them to be so effective in meeting people's needs. When somebody would show up at the front door, the church would sit down and say, tell me about how you got here. Precisely the opposite of that one line in the article.
Right.
Tell me your story. What's your relationship with your family? Are you employed? You know, they were trying to get to know the person, and they were trying to get to know the person's story. And doing so would enable them to know better how to help overcome that person's particular problems. So this is precisely what sets the church apart from big government welfare programs mm-hmm. that operate at a distance. They're impersonal. They simply kind of drop money out of the sky. And what they lack is the sort of accountability, the sort of personal knowledge and kind of walking alongside somebody which is really necessary in order to get people out of the cycle of poverty, back on their own 2 feet,
mm-hmm.
Which is what we ultimately want for people.
Exactly. In Mervyn's book, which I have open here in front of me, I've been reading through it again, but he says, you know, that let's begin where poverty fighting a century ago began by emphasizing affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would find out, you know, who's affiliated with this person in order to find out who is bound to help in this case.
Right.
But
this all comes back to relationships, as we noted at the beginning of the program. And one interesting story that we tell in the Seek Social Justice curriculum on the video dealing with the church, we highlight a church in Florida who, out of good motivations, started a rescue mission. And by their own account, they invited people in off the streets. They gave them a cup of soup, a warm bed to sleep in. They said the sinner's prayer, and boom, they were out the next day walked down the street, went to the next one. Mm-hmm. And people were just kind of cycling in and out of these rescue missions, and they began to realize that, you know, nothing much is changing. So what this particular church did was they shut down a rescue mission, and they opened up a six-week residency for men addicted to drugs. And through walking them through mentoring relationships, through strict chores, by naming what it was that was causing the problem, their drug addiction, and helping them to overcome that, then they were able to really see transformation in the lives of these people. And that's the sort of model that we're wanting to point to, is to say you do have to take people seriously as human beings. You have to get down to the level of their human heart. You have to get to the level of their habits, their attitudes, their ways of thinking, if you're really wanting to overcome the problems which they find themselves in and set them up for long-term success.
Mm. Marvin notes in his book here some of the comments that were made 100 years ago in mercy ministries and in charitable giving. One person said this, that intelligent giving and intelligent withholding are alike true charity. If drink has made a man poor, money will not feed him, but it'll feed his drunkenness. They referred to people who just gave indiscriminately as gushers, and they said one person was asked, you know, would just giving money out to people indiscriminately ever satisfy these gushers? I would add an adjective there to gullible gushers. But he says this, no, nothing satisfies the gusher. He will persist in his giving or someone else's money to the plausible beggar as often as he appears. One magazine filled with criticism about this said that it was called miscalled charity, which soothes the conscience with indiscriminate giving. It went on to say that it was positively immoral to give this money in this particular way, and it was also called a little bit further down, it was referred to as foolish compassion. Ralph Waldo Emerson, which a lot of people would be familiar with, he had a famous statement here that he said this, quote, I sometimes succumb and give the dollar, but it is a wicked dollar, which by and by I shall have the manhood to withhold. And so he was rebuking himself for just giving indiscriminately
right.
to just anybody who asked. And I think that all of this needs to be taken into consideration, and we just need to take a good, hard look at how we do mercy ministry in the church. And I think your program is going to do that for us. We've got to take a very quick commercial break, and then when we come back from the break, we'll go ahead and pick up our discussion here with Ryan Messmer from
the Heritage Foundation.
Thank you. And SeekSocialJustice.com. And we'll pick up the discussion there and talk more about what's in this program and what you'll find here. Absolutely free, provided by the Heritage Foundation and World Magazine. And we'll look at this in depth to see how we can truly help people that are in need. That's what we want to do. We really want to help them. We want to have strategies that are intelligent and spiritual.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
The job market is weakening.
Bank stocks among the hottest hits.
In tough economic times, Christians tend to give less money to ministries. But let's take a look at giving by Christians during the Great Depression. The percentage of Christians who gave to ministries during the Great Depression was 21% more than Christians give today. They were committed to ministry. But we found that our listeners have that same rugged mentality as those Dust Bowl believers. And we want to thank you for your bold financial commitment to our ministries. Tell your friends about Christian Talk 660.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Speedy B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
The busyness of the Christmas season can distract us from reflecting on its deeper meaning. Nancy Guthrie has put together a helpful collection of Advent readings called Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus. Published by Crossway, this anthology draws from Charles Spurgeon, Martin Luther, John Piper, Randy Alcorn, and many others. Each essay looks at Scripture and expounds on a particular aspect of the Christmas story. This refreshing collection is perfect for gifts or family devotions.
I've had trouble with Angel trying to finish high school. It would be frustrating because during the day I would get a phone call saying he wasn't in class. He dropped off for a whole month. I really didn't have many people to look to but myself. Now I think that it's gotten a lot better. Now I at least have hope that he'll finish high school. He's still my son, you know, I can't give up.
Give your teen the boost they need to graduate. Call 1-877-4A-KID or join us at boostup.org for tips and advice. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Okay, we tried a little bit earlier to get one of the videos to play. I don't think it's... I don't know where the technology glitch is, but we're going to go ahead and try it again. Here's Marvin commenting, and so we'll go ahead and try to listen to this one, and if this works, then you'll be able to hear a portion. By the way, this one that we're looking at playing is actually...
Well, one problem is thinking in grand terms of the poor or the homeless instead of thinking about the way there are lots of individual homeless people and lots of poor people who are in that situation for lots of different reasons. So overgeneralization tends to be a big problem. Second problem tends to be, in a sense, thinking top down. The problems of social justice emerge out of relational injustice. They emerge out of injustice within a family when kids are growing up without parents and without a dad, let's say, in most of those circumstances. They emerge from situations where kids are stuck in bad schools, and their parents, they and their parents have no choice of what school to send them to, and so they're stuck in a bad school where they fall further and further behind. All these things lead to injustice. If they're in a neighborhood where there's drug dealing that's rampant, and in fact it's pretty customary that you use drugs, you deal drugs, I mean, that's the thing to do. I mean, all these things lead to big social problems. And so you have to start at the root of the problems. If you just start top down and say, well, here's this grand problem. There are X thousand or X million people in the situation, and we need to have a grand plan to take care of it. Those one-size-fits-all plans never work. You have to think of the different reasons why people get into poverty, and then the way, by building better relations, that people can start to dig themselves out of poverty.
Well, there you have it. That was Marvin Olasky, who participated in this project here that we've been talking about, Seek Social Justice. Ryan, let me get you to go ahead and comment on what Marvin just said, and then also, if you would, use that as a segue again to just tell us what people would find out on this website and why this would be helpful to them in applying what we're learning about social justice.
Sure. Well, one of the most important things that Marvin said in that great quote was how important it is to get to the root of the problem. Unless our strategies for seeking social justice really uncover the heart of the problem, then our strategies are going to be ineffective, and we're not going to bring about the transformation that we all want to bring about. And as he said there toward the end of his quote, at the root of the problem of poverty and social breakdown, what you will find are missing or dysfunctional relationships. People not treating people the way they should. Parents not exercising their responsibilities toward their children. Churches not exercising their responsibilities for their members. These sorts of relationships going missing. It's interesting, if you look at the classic verse in Isaiah 1 that talks about seek justice, what comes after that, seek justice, is defend the orphan, care for the widow, care for the oppressed, What is it about orphans and widows and the oppressed which caused them to be singled out as categories of people needing help? I mean, what is missing in their lives which causes Isaiah to kind of say, seek justice for these people? Well, it's fundamental relationships which they need to flourish. Being missing in the case of the orphan or the widow,
sure.
Or being perverted in the case of the oppressed. And so solutions, kind of drive-by solutions of social justice that simply throw money at the problem or simply ask government to create another program does not target the real root of the problem. It doesn't take into account what is bringing about the lack, the material lack, the emotional lack, the spiritual lack in the first place. And so what we're trying to do in these videos, which people can, again, download for free on the website, is to say, here are examples of strategies that start from the bottom and try to cultivate justice from the ground up rather than flying above at 30,000 feet and simply dropping down checks or money or other forms of handouts. And the way that you cultivate justice from the ground up is you start one-on-one. You start with the relationships in your family. You start with your neighbor. You start with the person down the street that you can begin to invest time and energy in, and you can get to know that person up close and personal and really find out what their needs are. One of the experts that we highlight talks about this in terms of concentric circles. Just imagine the person who is in need at the center of all these concentric circles. Closest to them are the people who know them best, family members, neighbors. And as you go further out, you may come to church members. You may come to coworkers. Eventually, you're going to come to government, kind of in a far-reaching circle. And the point is simple. The further away you get from the center, the further away you get from people who know people by name and are invested in their lives, the less effective you're going to be in helping them. And so what we try to do is we try to highlight examples of that what I think are beautifully put together, high-definition DVD videos, which allows people to tell these stories in their own words. Stories being told not only by people whose lives were transformed, but by ministries who actually helped to bring about that transformation.
Do you have a list of the six videos right there in front of you? I do here if you don't, but I just wanted you to go through and read what would be in each one of those six videos.
Sure. Well, the first one is called Rethinking Social Justice, and this is pretty much what you and I have done so far in this broadcast. You have to start with the understanding of the term, and so we address head-on a paradigm, a vision of social justice, which we think is biblically grounded, undergirded by research, and proven to be helpful. And then lessons 2 through 5 look at different institutions in society which God has created to contribute to the common good, to contribute to a just society. So we start with the family, cultivating justice from the ground up. And we tell the story of a drug dealer in Dallas, Texas, who walked into his living room one night and found his 3-year-old son rolling up a piece of paper like a joint, imitating what he saw his dad doing. And this man looked at his 3-year-old doing this and said, I am setting him up for a life of entrapment, of poverty, a dead-end street. He's going to become just like me. He's going to become a drug dealer. He's going to end up in jail. This would almost be the poster child of what people think of as social injustice. He's trapped by these large institutions which are holding him down and oppressing him. But actually, the story we tell is of another couple in North Dallas who decided that they wanted to do something to make a difference in the lives of those in need. And they began to simply take every Saturday, and they would drive down into this drug-infested neighborhood in Dallas, and they simply began to get to know this drug dealer and his living girlfriend and their four kids. Began to go on double dates with them, began to have them over for Thanksgiving dinner, just began to form a friendship with them. And by walking with them and getting to know them and getting to know what their needs were, they began to sustain them through coming off of drugs, through getting married, through getting a job, through building their own home through Habitat for Humanity. And now, in the midst of this darkness in this neighborhood, there is a married family with kids who see their dad go off to work every day, and it's a light in the midst of this darkness. Mm-hmm. And that all came through the personal relationships of one family who said, you know what, we're not simply going to march on Washington. We're not going to pass the buck over to government. We're going to roll up our sleeves. We're going to get to know one other family in need, and we're going to do what we can do to help them. So it's stories like that that we tell in lessons 3, 4, 5. We talk about the role that churches can play, the role that businesses can play, the role that government can and should play. And then lesson 6 is, so what does this mean for you as an individual and your small group? After watching this entire series over 6 weeks, what actively can you do walking away from this that'll make a difference?
What do you envision, Ryan? You mentioned it there, I guess, at the end with a small group, but you're envisioning small groups within the church to get together, maybe in somebody's home, and to watch these and go through this. And then, you know, to decide on some project that, like you say, it may not change the world, but it'll change somebody's life in their world.
That's right.
And is that what you're envisioning for this?
That's exactly right. And we're picturing any place where people of faith who share this passion to serve those in need get together regularly and talk. It could be a book club. It could be a dorm small group. It could be a Sunday school class. It could be an informal home group. But we're just about to enter a new year, and a lot of people are looking for a new book or a new resource or a new curriculum that they can use in their small group. And what we imagine them doing is going through this this 6-week course, and then at the end of that saying, okay, now that we're equipped with this vision, now that we have these principles in place, we've seen examples that work, what can we do? What is the need in our local community? What are our particular gifts? What skills do we have? And then how can we begin to act in a way that would make a difference in the lives of those around us? We expect that to look different from church to church, from campus to campus, from community to community. Where the needs are different, the solutions will be different. But that's why we think local civil society-based approaches are so much more effective than government approaches, where it's kind of one-size-fits-all, the solution being imposed from thousands of miles away. We want people to kind of look around and say, who is on our street? Who is in our town? Who is on our campus that needs help? And how can we help to meet that need?
Well, it sounds excellent. And you were mentioning, in fact, you had sent me an email. I didn't see it before we went live on the broadcast, but that the Seek Social Justice website will launch tomorrow. Is that correct?
Or today, actually. I got
today.
That late last night.
Oh, okay. It just came through my email. I don't know what's going on. But
yeah.
Anyways, so
people will be able to find this later today,
okay.
Live. And also there's a place on the website, I should mention, where they can order a hard copy of the DVD as well as the 68-page study guide, and we can ship them for free the study guide and the DVD. All they have to do is cover the shipping and handling costs, but we're providing the materials for free, and they can order that later today, and we'll, they can have that in hand at the beginning of the new year, ready to start a new semester.
Wow, that's great. And like I mentioned here, I did watch a lot of these online, maybe five out of the six, I think, and looked over some of the study material as well. And it's really well done. You guys did their Compass, I guess it was. They did a great job of putting this together.
Compass Cinema, that's right.
That's right, Compass Cinema. And you're writing there and providing the study material to go along with it, I think, is excellent and deals with a lot of the things we were just talking about. Let's run to the phone lines very quickly. Ron is up. Ron, what's on your mind today?
I was just curious. This couple that got straightened out, turned around. I didn't hear, and I might have just not heard. But did they become Christians over this? Is that how everything came about?
They did. That was central to their story. It is that they the drug dealer realized upon coming to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that he needed help. He needed to change, but simply didn't know how to do that. And it's about that time when this other couple entered their lives and was able to provide a model of a faithful marriage, a faithful church community, and a faithful friendship. And it's that need to address all aspects of the person, including their relationship with God, but also their relationship with their spouse, with drugs, with material possessions. All of that needs to be taken into account if we are really to treat people as the full human beings that they are, which means if we're going to treat them justly.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds very, very good. Thank you very much for your work.
Thank you, Ron. Thanks for the call.
Okay, Ron, go out there and check it out. You know, when we think about this, what we're basically talking about is discipleship. What we're basically talking about is Christian living.
That's right.
You know, that we're just going out and letting our light so shine before men that they see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven, that we are looking at ways to apply the gospel in people's life on a regular basis. People that are outside of Christ, you know, that we're doing it in such a way that we're trying to draw them into a relationship with Christ. And then obviously with people like this young drug dealer and his family, that we're getting in there and we're discipling them, showing them the love of Christ, and then helping them to apply the gospel to every single aspect of their life. That's Christian discipleship 101, and unfortunately, it seems a little bit new to us these days because I think it's been put on the back shelf. And I think we need to, that would be the only caveat here, is we've got to make sure we're the Church of Jesus Christ, and we have this message that is able to change people's life. We're not advocating here just some sort of social program that we just help everybody to play nice together. We are advocating the unfolding of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our society. Is that correct, Ryan?
That's right. In fact, in the first lesson, your quote reminded me of one of the experts that we interviewed. Toward the end of lesson one, she says pretty much exactly what you just said. She said, "Social justice is about yanking foretastes of God's kingdom into the present, and making those kinds of relationships and that kind of life which God makes possible real and available to those in our circles of influence."
Excellent. I wish I would have said that quote. She had a great one.
That's right.
Ryan Messmore, thank you very much. He's with the Heritage Foundation. Thank you very much for your hard work on pulling this together. The website is www.seeksocialjustice.com. Go out there to it. Put your name on the list. They will send you a copy of these. Let's start showing these here throughout Greenville, throughout South Carolina, throughout the United States, throughout the world, as the people are listening to this broadcast. Let's start doing this and really demonstrating the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ throughout the world. Ryan, thank you very much for your work on this project and for taking time out of your schedule to be with us today.
No, thank you, Kevin. Thanks for having me, and I hope you have a very wonderful and Merry Christmas.
You too, my friend. Okay, thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you again tomorrow.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.